Welcome to Rise from the Ashes. Our podcast looks at various issues for families. We'll be talking with attorneys about personal and legal concerns having to do with divorce, custody, and parenting time. There are also a few topics about letting go, moving on, and new beginnings. Please keep in mind this podcast is only to inform and help to understand legal and personal issues as they relate to family law. It should not be considered as a replacement for a qualified family law attorney. When in doubt, please contact a professional. Rise from the Ashes, focusing on matters of the family, because family matters. Hi, and welcome to our podcast, Rise from the Ashes. I'm David Braddock. I'll be the host for the podcast, and we're talking today with Alma Miklasevics, who is a family law attorney at Mundahl Law. How are you doing today, Alma?
I'm doing great, David.
Now, our topic for today, it sounds like it's essentially, how do you go about changing your name legally? Perhaps you can enlighten us, how does that work in a divorce process?
In a divorce process, it's really fairly simple. You include it in the petition, a request for a name change, if you want one. And then you include it in the judgment and decree that the judge signs. And that's what makes your divorce final. Either spouse can get their name changed in a divorce, or both spouses. I've had a case where both spouses changed their names. I had another where the opposing party wanted a name change to the last name of another person that they were intending to marry once the divorce became final. It's pretty simple in a divorce.
Now, today's topic, it has generally to do with changing your name, but also we're going to be getting into identity changes. Is there anything specific we need to say about that?
What I had in mind are name changes and gender changes. These are two things that come up in my practice from time to time. The gender, not so much. But certainly in a divorce, it's common for people to change their names. That is an identity change. So that is sort of the general umbrella term for today's topic.
Well, how does the normal process of changing your name, what does that look like?
Well, in Minnesota, you have to complete a separate application for a name change. There's roughly a $300 fee to do that. It involves a court hearing and two witnesses. That's really about it. The nice thing here in Minnesota is that you can also get your gender changed as part of that name change process, if that is something you want to do.
It is a court hearing. How does a court generally look at a name change?
They just want to know that you are who you say you are and that you haven't been convicted of a felony. You aren't doing it to defraud anyone. Aside from that, these things routinely get rubber stamped.
And you mentioned that it could be as also a part of a gender change process. How does that work, Alma?
Well, having done this part, you're also required to submit a letter from a licensed physician who's managing your transitions care. So that's just a little extra layer in the process.
Would that be done at one hearing then, besides presenting all the appropriate documentation like the physician's letter as well as whatever's required for the name change? Does the court see both matters at the same time or does it happen separately or?
The court can order the Department of Public Health to change your name. To change your gender, you've got to amend your birth certificate. In Minnesota, that's handled by the Department of Health, and they have a separate process for doing that. The steps, if you're transgender and you want to amend your birth certificate at the same time that you're changing your name, you have to pay a fee to the Department of Public Health. You have to submit the documents they require, one of which will be the court order or a letter from a doctor. I think the fee is roughly about $65, $70.
Very reasonable.
Yeah. That's not too bad compared to the $300 plus that you have to do for the name change. In the court system, if $300 is a stretch for you, if that's hard, and it can be for a lot of people these days, you can apply for a fee waiver. That adds some steps to the process and requires you to provide a little more information, but that's an option in the court system. With the Department of Public Health, I'm not aware of a way around the fee. Fortunately, the fee is more manageable for that.
Are there any limits? In other words, can you pick just about any name that you want?
Really, you can. There are some limitations. Again, if you've been convicted of a felony, that can present an issue. But generally, you can pick whatever name you want.
First name and or last name.
And or middle name.
Oh, sure, of course.
Yeah. An attorney in another state changed their name to Luke Skywalker.
This actually happened. Okay.
You might run into some trouble if you wanted to, say, change your name to God first name, God middle name, God last name. You might get some pushback on something like that from a court. But generally speaking, you can change your name to whatever you want.
Well, it seems to me that there would be some important things that a person would have to take care of legally after they make a name change or a change of their identity.
Oh, yes. There are a lot of things you're going to want to change. Some of them are more important than others. For example, the first thing you want to do after you change your name is inform the Social Security Administration, because you're going to need a new Social Security card with that name on it to do other things like obtain a driver's license, things like that.
And I would think your financial institutions are going to want to know about this new identity as well.
Absolutely. So the first is the Social Security. Driver's license is typically the next one you want to update. And then you get into stuff like banks, the IRS, credit card companies, etc. Those lower priorities, they will just show up. You'll forget that you even had a subscription to this magazine under your other name.
Oh, and then the magazine shows up on your doorstep and they're like, oh, oops, that's not me anymore.
Absolutely.
So I see.
That takes some time. There are a lot of good lists out there online to use as reference guides, but we all have lives. We all have other things we have to do. It's very difficult for most of us to spend the time needed to change all of those things. I've done it piecemeal myself. There are some things that I probably won't bother to change at this point, but that's up to the individual, and that's an individual choice.
Are there any special issues that should be addressed or make sure that you're paying attention to with an identity change?
One of the real big ones this year in 2020 is the Real ID, which is going to take effect in October.
In Minnesota?
Yes. And that will be nationally, too. After that point, You won't be able to travel within the U.S. without a Real ID or U.S. passport.
No matter where you're from in the U.S.
That's correct.
I see. And what was that time period again?
It kicks in October of this year.
2020.
October of 2020.
Okay.
And that could create potentially a lot of problems for people who may be getting a legal name change this year or getting divorced near that time. In fact, if it looks like your divorce is going to be finalized by then or around that time, it may be something to consider holding off for a month until you can sort of align things to make sure that you have the ability to take care of that stuff quickly. This would be obviously more important for people who regularly travel.
Well, yeah, because in a divorce, oftentimes doesn't one person or another will want to perhaps change their name back to their original name?
Yeah, and it gets more complicated if you've been divorced more than one time.
Oh, sure, because then there's a history of names.
Yes, and you will have to produce court documents for all of those to trace all that back.
To link everything to the new name.
Yes, exactly. So that can get very complicated. Also, it's 2020. It's an election year. You want to make sure that your voting registration is up to date this year. If you're changing your name, whether it's in a divorce or just for fun or for any other reason, you really want to make sure that your right to vote isn't impinged upon. It's important. I tell all my clients to vote.
Any other special issues that we should be aware of for name or identity changes?
One advantage the separate proceeding for a name change has over doing it in a divorce. Well, two. I mean, if you're transgender, it can take care of the changing gender thing for you as well and get that process started. One of the other things, the advantages of the regular name change process has to deal with privacy, because after you get a name change, whether it's in a divorce or outside of the divorce process, you are going to have to produce that document for, say, the Social Security Administration. When you go there after you get your name changed, however you do it, they're going to want to see the court order. whether it's your divorce decree or just the regular court order from a separate name change proceeding. So there's some privacy concerns there for some people. Do you want the Social Security Administration photocopying your divorce decree and keeping it on file? You might say yes, you might say no. Again, that's up to the individual and how you feel about those things. But you may also have to produce it for other people that aren't government agencies, like, say, your insurance company or your health insurance provider. You may not want that out there.
Well, it's really been a privilege to get some of this inside information about name and identity change since you're going through that process actively right now. Does it help to have an attorney to assist with this kind of thing, Almud?
Well, it hasn't helped me, but...
Even though you are the attorney?
It depends. It can be helpful, yes, but that can also cost money. There are also free legal services that help people do this, clinics frequently. It depends, too, on your comfort level with dealing with the legal system. Some people get easily overwhelmed by the forms and the prospect of going to court. It may be worth it to seek a little help. Again, it's an up to the individual, and I'm here to help if you'd like.
Well, thank you so much, Alma.
Thank you, David.
You are listening to Rise from the Ashes, the podcast channel that takes a careful look at all things having to do with legal procedure within the family law process. Rise from the Ashes is sponsored by Mundahl Law, who specializes in assisting families and individuals through the legal process with respect, dignity, and caring. Mundahl Law is dedicated to helping people to solve their legal problems. You can visit the Mundahl Law website at mundahllaw.com or call to schedule a consultation with one of their qualified family law attorneys. Rise from the ashes, focusing on matters of the family, because family matters.